from the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast, community radio on demand. I'm Billy, your host, and your connection to the people, places, and pulse of Phoenix's LGBTQ plus community. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to the family. Each week, we celebrate queer life in the desert, from nightlife to nonprofits, leather to love, and everything in between. My husband, Brian, will be here shortly with his Hot 3, bringing you the biggest, boldest, and most unforgettable events across the valley. Together, we're your home base for what's happening and who's making Phoenix proud. And wow, what a weekend we just had. The city came alive for Leather Pride Weekend, and even a few raindrops couldn't wash out the shine. Thursday night kicked off with a Bluff Social in Bondage Karaoke, where even I jumped on the mic before the clouds rolled in. The vibe was pure energy, laughter, harnesses, and community everywhere you turned. Then Friday turned into a truly historic moment. Ben Calderon, Mr. Anvil Phoenix 2025, unveiled the new Arizona Leather Pride flag at Melrose Yoga, officially making Arizona only the second state in the nation with its own Leather Pride flag, right after Colorado. It was a powerful celebration of who we are stitched together with pride and purpose. And I have to say, Melrose Yoga is more than just a backdrop for that history. It's a sanctuary. For my own rehab and recovery, the instructors have helped me rebuild strength, balance, and confidence in ways I didn't think were possible. Their approach is all about inclusion and healing, mind, body, and spirit. If you need a space that welcomes every body and every story, Melrose Yoga is that place. Then we switched into Friday night, and it went straight into celebration mode with Leather Happy Hour featuring the one and only Honey Davenport. Honey absolutely lit up the stage, fierce, fabulous, and full of heart. It was so exciting to get to hang out with them all weekend long. I got to see them throughout the weekend. It just made me ecstatic. I know they're going to be here for another week and enjoying Pride, so I hope we see Honey out and about some more. And then Saturday, the parking lot party. It turned into the ultimate outdoor celebration. The weather cleared because the rain had finally stopped and the music hit and the lot was filled with bears, pups, leather lovers from all over. There were vendor tents. There was a puppy mosh pit. There was a visitor's tent. I'll let you guess what happened in that dark tent. A flogging corner and even a money-raising jail cell for charity. Only in Phoenix can you have thunder in the forecast and still end up with sunshine and smiles. And by Sunday, it was time for Battle of the Tea Dances. It was the perfect cap to an incredible weekend. You had Boycon having a tea dance and Bunkhouse. Obviously, we were at the Bunkhouse one. And since it was my birthday, I've got to send a huge thank you to Dalen, Little Bear, Ricky, and of course, my husband, Brian, for making my 53rd absolutely unforgettable. That's chosen family showing up, loving big, and always bringing the glitter. And the celebration keeps rolling because it's officially Phoenix Pride Week. The desert's about to come to life with color, music, and community. From parade floats to the after parties, you're going to find Gay PHX out and about all weekend long. We'll be capturing moments, meeting new faces, and spreading the love. And make sure you keep an eye out for the new Gay PHX QR coin. This collectible rainbow token has a special surprise this year. So when you see one, grab it, scan it, and see what we've been working on for Pride 2025. And speaking of celebrations, once the parade wraps up on Sunday, October 19th, head straight to Newtown Saloon for the Leather Closing Party and Variety Show hosted by Mr. Adam, Mr. Newtown Phoenix 2025. You can expect food trucks, whiskey, cigars, games, prizes, and live performances from some of the Valley's most talented artists, including our featured guest later in this episode. It's the perfect way to close out Pride Weekend, surrounded by friends, family, and the community that makes Phoenix shine. So get ready, Phoenix. Hydrate, plan your looks, and make space for connection. Pride is here, and we'll be right there with you, celebrating every moment. Now let's get you set for the week ahead. Here's Brian with this week's Hot 3.
You're listening to the Gay PHX Podcast,
where community comes first.
Hey, hey, Gay PHXers, it's your Desert Den Daddy, Brian, back with another Brian's Hot 3, your weekly guide to what's queer and what's local and what's not to be missed in Phoenix and beyond. But this week, oh honey, it's not just hot, it's Pride Weekend, and the desert is absolutely bursting with glitter, gyration, and gay greatness. Whether you're voguing in vinyl, marching in mesh, or kissing a stranger under a rainbow umbrella, these three events are where the magic is, and you're invited, so let's get into it. Saturday, October 18th at 12 o'clock, going to be Pocket Pride at Stacy's at Melrose. It's Pride, it's free, it's fabulous, and it's just 1 mile from all that wristband chaos. Listen, babes, Pocket Pride is for the people. No cover, no gates, no scan here to enter. Just you and your friends and that one guy who looks amazing in those short shorts. There will be DJ Prince Joshua spinning, drag shows, go-go dancers, dunk tanks, and a street full of joy. Food trucks, tarot card readers, queer vendors, and an absolutely no entry fee. Outdoor party goes from 12 to 7 after dark. Party continues inside with zero chill. Stacy's at Melrose, just 1 mile from Steele Indian School Park. Come for the free access, stay for the free spirited mayhem, and if you pay to party, you partied wrong. Saturday, October 18th at 2 o'clock, Phoenix Pride Festival at Indian Steele School Park. Our pride is our resistance, our difference is our power. That will be their theme for this year. This year's Phoenix Pride is ready to serve. The parade, iconic, the stages, electrified, the energy, unmatched. We'll be featuring Big Frida, Todrick Hall, Snow the Product, Debbie Holiday, as a few of the hosts there. So festival hours are Saturday from 2 to 10 p.m. and Sunday they're from 12 to 9 p.m. For a day pass, it's $39. If you want a weekend pass, it's $55, which includes the express entry. The parade is at 10 o'clock a.m., 3rd Street and Thomas and Indian School. The announcer stage is at 3rd Street and Osborne. This is the main stage of the Desert Queerness, March Proud, Dance Louder, Hydrate Often. Saturday, October 18th, 2 o'clock, Bear Bingo, Bears of the West and The Rock. Need a break from the sun and sound system? Slide over to The Rock for the Bear of the West Bingo, hosted by the one and only Olivia Gardens. From 2 to 5, it's all dabbers, drinks, and drag sass. Expect shady numbers, cheeky prizes, and enough fur and fun to make you forget it's still daytime. The Rock, home of the cold drinks and warm, fuzzy feelings. So there it is, your sparkling, sizzling, full-throttle Phoenix Pride Saturday. Pride is power, pride is protest, pride is play, and in Phoenix, it's also a little sweaty, a little chaotic, and a whole lot of magical. So whether you're dancing in the park, getting dunked in Melrose, or yelling bingo with a beer tender by your side, know that you're part of something beautiful, defiant, and real. From your Gay PHX family and from me, your Desert Den Daddy Brian, I'll see you this weekend in glitter, in love, and definitely in mesh. Phoenix Pride 2025, where visibility meets victory and every strut is a statement. We don't have a transmitter, we don't have a broadcast tower humming in the desert, but we do have you, and that means everything. So keep listening, keep showing up, and keep being the reason this community shines. We'll see you next week. Until then, stay safe, stay proud, and stay loud. And I'm Brian, and that's What's Hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GabePHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the Valley.
New episodes, local voices, big queer energy. Subscribe now to the Gay PHX podcast.
Phoenix, are you ready to scream? Grit is back, and this time, the pool is gone dark. The Scream Pool Party. Where sexy meets spooky, and hauntings await around every corner. It's dark, it's sexy, it's a blast, and you've got 5 shots to experience it before it vanishes into the night. Dive in, Phoenix. Tickets at GabePHX.com. scream with us at Great.
This is what community sounds like.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about HIV services. Live and love stigma-free of HIV. Today's world, HIV is very treatable and preventable. So in my opinion, fighting stigma of people living with HIV and testing for HIV is the first step. Whether testing for the first time or living with HIV, care and support are available throughout Phoenix. Share this message with your friends and family and let them know you'll be there for them no matter what. HIV testing is quick, free, and confidential, and results can come in just minutes. And if someone tests reactive for HIV, treatment helps people live a long, happy, healthy life and keeps the virus undetectable, meaning the virus can't be passed on to others sexually. We are all in this together. All over Phoenix, trusted providers are offering care, connection, and compassion without judgment. Check out the website hivaz.org for more information and to link to a provider. Let's live and love stigma-free of HIV.
The Phoenix Boys of Leather present the 17th annual Wax a Bear fundraiser Saturday, November 15th at the Anvil. Bid on our sexy bears as they get waxed live on stage. To the highest bidder goes the pelt. Plus, score big in our charity auctions with custom Build-A-Bears, leather gear, art, and handcrafted kinky delights from local vendors. All proceeds benefit Ripple Phoenix, supporting their mission to empower Phoenix's LGBTQ plus community with love, tools, and the resources to live stronger, healthier lives. Ripple will also be on site, offering free HIV testing and check-ins throughout the night. And remember, this night is for everyone. Femme, masculine, non-binary, trans, however you shine, there's a place for you at Wax-A-Bear. Don't miss it. Wax-A-Bear 2025, Saturday, November 15th at the Anvil. Come ready to cheer, bid, and celebrate.
Phoenix, are you ready to drain it out? Drain Your Nut Phoenix returns Thursday, October 16th from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. And this is the play party everyone's talking about. Straight from LA, it's an unapologetic, no ego, no pressure night where you set the rules.
Yeah.
3 hours, one room, endless possibilities. Whether you're there to watch, connect, or go all the way, this is the space where boundaries drop and desires take over. Capacity is limited, so don't wait. Secure your spot now and get all the details at gayphx.com. That's gayphx.com. Phoenix, come ready, come curious, and be prepared to drain your nut.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
What happens when compassion and creativity collide? You get an artist who heals by day and pours his soul into music by night. You're about to meet someone who balances the high-stakes world of nursing with the vulnerable, electric world of independent artistry. His voice carries from hospital halls to the stage onto powerful music videos that reflect authenticity, strength, and the journey of a queer creator carving his own path. From musical theater roots to original tracks like Taking My Power Back, his work invites you to listen closer, not just to the music, but to the stories and the resilience behind it. Please join us in welcoming to the rainbow-tinted microphone, Daniel James Grundahl. Howdy.
Hello. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today. Yeah.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
So you've worn a lot of hats in your creative life, from musical theater to recording original tracks and even making your own music videos. When did that journey really begin for you?
I've been performing for a very long time in my life. I'm actually originally from Utah, in the Salt Lake City area. And I actually did my first theater performance when I was in fourth grade. My sister's high school, which later became my high school. I was in a musical there with her, and that was a great experience. And so I decided to go to that same high school from my experience because I already knew the drama teacher there and everything. And I wound up doing a lot of performances there at high school. I think I was in 26 plays during high school.
Wow.
Yeah. a lot of performances, a lot of balancing homework and stuff like that with that. But I was Teddy and Fiddler on the Roof. I was in The Matchmaker, which is Hello Dolly, but it's a non-musical version. But did a lot of performances, a lot of musical type stuff. And at the time, I was growing and learning how to be a little bit more musical myself. I didn't have any formal training or anything for singing or that sort of thing. And so then afterwards, I decided my teacher inspired me to go to college and try to become a drama teacher. And so I went to the University of Utah to become a drama teacher. And I performed in a number of plays during that time. And I was Simon Zealot in Jesus Christ Superstar, actually, in Salt Lake City. And there was the artistic director that came down from Park City at the time, and he saw the performance. And he came backstage after my performance and talked to me. And he said, I would love to have you come and audition for me up in Park City at the theater up there. And Park City Performance was known as something that was somewhat prestigious. There had been performers there that they would bring in from New York and stuff like that. So I went up and auditioned there, and I wound up doing a few musicals with them, including I did a gala for them up there. They were raising money for charity, I believe. And they had Ed Ames come in. So he was there performing. I don't know if you know who Ed Ames is, but
I do not.
He recorded To Dream Impossible Dream.
Oh, okay.
And then Hal Linden. Yeah, and Hal Linden was in that performance as well. He was Barney Miller on the Barney Miller show.
Yeah, that name I actually know.
And then he did a lot of Broadway and stuff like that. But so that was a wonderful opportunity to get to perform up there. There were incredibly talented people that I performed with up there. And then I also did a few shows for the University of Utah as well, including I was in Tartuffe, which is by Molière. And I got to play Tartuffe at the University of Utah. It was an interesting take on Tartuffe, too, because they were doing it in modern clothing. Yep. And so it was almost like Shakespeare-type thing, but modern clothing. And they made me look like a Mormon person.
Is that because it was in Utah, or was it because it was supposed to be part of the presentation?
That was just the director's interpretation, and I was like, okay, I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how this is going to fly. They even had a scene where I had to drop my pants, okay, during the performance, and I'm wearing what looks like garments, like Mormon garments, you know?
The magic undies?
Underneath my suit, and I'm just like, I was raised Mormon. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I can't, my family's going to come and see this. I'm like, what are they going to think? So that was an interesting performance. But anyway, I got to perform a lot. And then
So quick question, because I'm fascinated that you started at 4. What role did you have at 4 years old? And just out of curiosity, how many lines?
Fourth grade.
Okay. But still, what kind of role was, I assume, like a child kind of role?
Yeah, there were just a couple of children. It was in a musical called Flower Drum Song.
Okay.
And it has an Asian storyline and stuff, but they needed some children, and so my sister recruited me to go and be in that. And she said, do you want to do it? And of course I wanted to, because I was a ham. Like, I used to perform for the visiting teachers that would come and other people that would come to the house and stuff like that. When I was even like 3 years old, I used to pretend to sing for them and stuff. But yeah, so then I got away from theater, though, for a little while, because it didn't pay enough, and you've got to survive, right? I actually started doing DJing on the side. A friend of mine was a DJ, and he wanted me to fill in for him now and again, because he knew I sang, and they did karaoke as well as playing music. And I got into that, and that was a lot of fun for a long time for me to do that as well. Paid better than theater, but then I stopped doing that, and I eventually moved down here to Arizona, and I really hadn't done anything creative for a really long time, and COVID hit, right? So with me being a nurse, it was a really hard time for us.
I can't even imagine.
And
I just can't.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was like being in MASH, right?
Right.
Like, it was, you never knew what you were going to get. You know, there were people who were just so sick that you couldn't even really turn them to bathe them and they without them coding. And it was very difficult. And with the pressure of that and some other things that were going on in my life, my personal life, I started feeling like something was really off. And so I started doing an assessment, self-assessment. And I was like, okay, I need to figure this out of what I need to do in my life. And I made some pretty dramatic changes, both moving towards more of Buddhism almost, but also I figured I haven't done anything creative for a long time. And creative people need that. Like we crave it. It's like, yes. Honey, yeah. And so I just thought, you know what? I'm going to become a recording artist. Like, why not? Let's just do it. I've been that way my whole life where I'm just, let's jump in the deep end of the pool. As a nurse, I almost immediately jumped into the ICU as a brand new baby nurse and think or swim.
Where you get the most demanding experiences, and that's also what forges, that's how diamonds are made, is under pressure.
It can be, for sure. And I love that technology is caught up to the point where we can do this by ourselves.
Right.
It's so good for artists. And a big thing for me is I like to inspire other artists and I like to encourage other artists. Like I have a visual artist friend that I go and I support and he sends me his works that he does immediately right after they're done. And I tell him that I think they're great. I sat down with him and hand picked out a bunch of his pieces and told him which ones I thought he should do. And he just talked to me about it. And it was interesting because he only speaks Spanish. So we're doing the whole thing in Spanish.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, because I also speak Spanish. But so, yeah, I just taught myself. But we were doing this, and then he did an art show and stuff like that, and I went to see it. And it was great. It was fantastic. And he's amazing. And I think it's important for us as people in the artistic community to help and promote other people as well and encourage them, because art isn't just about making money. About creativity, and it's about your soul. You're actually expressing part of you and creating something and sending it out into the world, whether that be a painting or whether that be a piece of music or whatever it might be. And so you're it's almost like having a child.
Yeah, I was gonna say each thing is your baby that you put out into the world, and now judge my baby. Tell me, please tell me my baby's pretty.
And that's the thing, you know exactly. But I fully went into this knowing that there would be some very rough comments from people. And because I'm not new to this.
Right.
I've had people critique my stuff in the past, in theater and stuff like that.
And everyone has an opinion.
They do. So it was so funny, not to go into the whole story, but it was funny because I knew that there would be haters. And I got a hater on Facebook. And the guy, and I just bantered back and forth with him, but it was totally, I wasn't upset. I was just playing, you know what I mean? Back and forth with him. And he was trying to tell me he was this big recording producer in LA and all stuff and everything. And I was like, I'm not trying to break into the music industry. So I don't know what you're wanting from me. I don't know what you're trying to accomplish. Cause I'm like, I'm older and I don't have any delusions of grandeur that I'm going to be.
It's interesting because people think that, yeah, exactly. You want to be the next Justin Bieber. No, I just want to be an artist. I want to create and put my stuff out there. And I don't want to be told what I can and can't say and do. Wow. What a concept.
Wow. Yeah. No. And that's the thing for me. Exactly. And that's the way it should be. And I think that when you also worry about commercialism and trying to make money from things, it can actually hinder the art. And so I feel like I got one of my biggest compliments from my one niece, who I have talented siblings and talented people in my family, and she's a very good singer. My nieces and my sister is in a band and all this stuff. But anyway, my sister said that when my niece heard one of my songs, the Na 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 song, that she actually asked my sister, is he serious? About this song. And because I do voices on this first album. The first album is called Ego. And there's a number of tracks on it. And they're all, the preface of the album is all about unhealthy manifestations of the ego.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I write a song, I don't know exactly how I'm going to sing it. So when I sang that Na 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 song, I get a vision in my head of what I would like to do with the video of it. And it plays into the way I perform it because I'm an actor ultimately, right? And so I did almost like puppet voices in the song because in my head, I was envisioning these very sexy puppets in front of me and I would be in a chair behind them and I would be the puppet master and they would do part of the song and they would. And the whole preface, the whole reason for the song is somebody who's so wrapped in their ego and they're saying, now you want me, now you need me. They think that they're just it and that everybody wants me kind of thing. And imagine these kind of very superficial puppet type people that were just incredibly sexy, dressed almost like sexy marionettes dancing in the video.
I'm thinking like Thunderbirds, those kind of marionettes. That's what I'm picturing in my head.
Yeah, like supermodel, model type right. dancers that are, yeah.
Penelope.
And, yeah, exactly. And I wound up calling my first album something that I've never heard of before, which was character pop, what I called it.
Oh.
Because it's merging acting with writing music and pop music. Because one of my biggest inspirations was David Bowie. And because I love how creative he was, and I love that he was just doing his own thing.
Right.
Right? Like, very innovative, way ahead of the curve. And not that I'm comparing myself to David Bowie.
No, still inspired by and, you know.
Yeah.
What motivates.
Yeah, and I love that. Yeah. I heard him in an interview one time say that his least favorite album was the one that has Let's Dance on it from the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Like one of the most commercially.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, I don't like that album because it was very commercial. It was for money. And I have the same kind of viewpoint where I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to do something that's commercial, that's great. But if I'm going to do it because I'm feeling it in the moment, I'm not going to do it to try to make it commercial.
You're in a different position where your livelihood isn't on your artistry. Your artistry is just based on your artistry because you have a livelihood.
Correct.
And
I can pay my bills.
I can relate to that. Right.
Yeah. I have a stable relationship. We have means and stuff. And so I don't have to be tied to that.
Right.
I'm not an 18-year-old trying to break into anything. And so.
And people don't understand that gives freedom. That's exactly it. The freedom to, again, say what it is you want to say, make it sound the way you want it to sound. It's a lot more work because you're literally doing everything, but it's your voice and it's your vision and it's everything that you want. So when a new song idea comes to you, where does it usually start? Lyrics, melody, a feeling?
I typically, it depends. So I do both lyrics and the music first. But on this first album, I wrote the music. And then I would listen to it over and over again in my car, like when I was like, driving back and forth to work. And I would be like, what is this music saying to me? What do I feel? What comes to my head? And then I would get a basic idea. And then I would just sit down and write out the lyrics for it. But then there's been other songs that I've done in the past where I write the lyrics and then I find it's easier to do the music and then write the lyrics because trying to make the music fit the words to me is almost more difficult.
Yeah, I feel like you have a variety of words that you can use to make it sound right when you have the melody already established.
Correct. And when I write a song, I just start tinkering around and then I'm like, oh, I like the sound of that. And I like the sound of that. I'm not very formulaic in the way that I write.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just, oh, that sounded great. So I'll keep that there. And I like that. And I like this kind of thing. And then I come up with a piece of music that I like and I think it's cool. And then start toying around with it. And then I sing all the parts in the songs, which can be more challenging. And I think people realize even the brand new piece of music, you have no idea how it should even be sung.
Right.
Or what. And so you're creating something. And the other thing, too, is I think a lot of people out there don't realize that a lot of these artists, which they're amazing, these are other artists, they're absolutely incredible. But Miley Cyrus, for example, or whatever, yes, she writes her own stuff and works on her own stuff, but they have a team. They have producers, they have musicians, they have all these people who can be like, hey, Miley, you know, you should sing this melody this way. This would be musically really great and stuff.
Right.
Whereas somebody who's more independent like me, because there's a lot of very just raw independent artists out there, like myself, and we do this all. There's nobody sitting with us.
Right. It's a one-man band kind of thing.
It is. And I think that it needs, in my opinion, it should be more appreciated when you run into those truly independent artists who just like the garage artists or the people who have a studio at home, that how much goes into that.
Right.
They have to do it all.
Yeah, and it's an investment of time. It's an investment into the equipment. It's an investment into making the work, refining the work, editing the work, then going back and refining it more.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge investment of money and time.
Back in the day when we would buy CDs and cassettes, you would see the list of credits to people that do that. And now I think because of the digital age, we don't get that tactile piece of an album anymore that we used to get. Oh, you get to see the cover art on your phone, but you don't get to hold the lyrics in your hand. You don't get to see all the people that went into making that happen. And I feel that's lost with streaming.
I think that it is. And I think just the modern world too, everything is so refined. There's so much, like I listen to a lot of contemporary music. I actually look older music, but 60s, 70s and stuff like that. But I listen to contemporary because I want to know what's going on too in the music world to be aware of what other people are doing. And I think it's fine to do pitch correction. That's not a problem at all. It's really not. I'm not one of those pitch correction snobs or anything like that. I think it's a good tool to use for
right.
artists and stuff like that. But I hear stuff on the radio and I'm like, this is so processed. Like there was a song that Elton John put out with a rap artist, and I heard the rap artist part and I was like, this guy can't even sing. You could just tell that the auto-tune was just having a hernia trying to keep up with him. And then you put him next to Elton John, who has this beautiful voice. And it was just such a juxtaposition that it just didn't fit. It didn't work. And I thought, this guy is famous enough to be doing a song with Elton John. Therefore, he has a following.
But this is not a no-no. That doesn't mean anything. It means something, but it doesn't at the same time. Having a following doesn't mean you have real talent. It just means you know how to get followers. Well, and it's interesting, like I'm doing it right now. Whenever I say talent, I put it in air quotes because, and especially I'm a little jaded coming from the radio industry. I've seen it is a machine. I've seen kids that came from Disney and they come out, they rehearse their thank yous.
Yeah.
And it's great and fine to be polished and rehearsed, but then I wonder, do you really have the talent of singing, or is it you have the talent of being social and being popular versus being a really incredible vocal powerhouse because you've got all this processing happening? Why don't you just sing, girl?
And you're right. No, and the thing is that there are artists out there like Adele who does not do auto-tune, okay? She refuses. And I know she doesn't. I listen to her music and you can actually put it through a processor and you can see that she doesn't use auto-tune because you can see it that it's not pitch corrected. But, and the thing is that, I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's artistry and then there's just factory process. It's all very formulaic. Like
right.
A lot of the dance music now, as opposed to even the 80s, though, I'm saying like that was at least creative. There were a bunch of there were people who wanted to sound like other people, but there was more innovation going on. And I think that's been lost in art in general, in movies and music and everything.
Everything's a franchise. Everything is not. It's got to be perfect out of the box. It's got to be a hit, or it's not worth it. I talk about this with some of the other artist creators and whatnot, like from Maxi LaWow. Hollywood does not take the risks that they used to do. It's too expensive. But on the flip side, it's so cost effective for us at our level to grow at a local level and gives us the opportunity. That's what technology has helped us so that we are empowered to do it ourselves because it does take so much. And yes, like you're saying, AI, it's interesting because we get so much more crap now.
Yeah.
I
just wish that,
Go ahead.
No, I just wish people would be more appreciative of when there is something that is a little bit more creative.
Right. Or crafted, or where the time is taken to be made. Look, I love AI to help me with certain things, but I still have to have my touch in it. I have to... in the same way when a lot of people freaked out that Photoshop came out back in the like the 80s and 90s, late 90s, that's when it was. When that came out, they're like, oh my gosh, real art is dead now. It's all digital. And it's not. And it didn't, it did replace some people, but those people were the ones not willing to learn Photoshop and use it as a tool. And I feel the same thing with AI, that we have to use it as a tool, and it's going to be can be real easy to get nasty clip art that just like people would turn out for the longest time from PowerPoint. But at least that level is in theory going to take a step up. Mediocre has a new level.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just another tool. And every new innovation that comes out, people think that it's going to destroy the world or something. I don't know.
Right.
But it won't. And it's just, you just have to learn how to adapt to it and use it. And AI can be great. And even with lyrics, for example, with music, to give you maybe a starting point if you're stuck and you're like, okay, I want a song about this. And then it gives you some idea. And then you go, okay, I've got to change a whole bunch of these lyrics, but at least it gave me something to start with.
Or in my case, like I'm a doodler artist. I want to be a wannabe comic book artist, but I don't have the time or the talent. But I do love doodling. And I wanted a specific kind of picture I was trying to envision and draw, and I couldn't quite get it, so I described it to AI, and while it couldn't nail it, it gave me the elements that I needed so that I could then draw it myself.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is, I love that even people who are learning or growing as an artist, they can use those tools to learn and grow and to get better and stuff like that. And we all need that. This has been a huge growing and learning experience for me. My actual real, like, inborn talent is actually art. It's drawing.
Mm.
Yeah, drawing and painting. So my father was a very good artist, and my oldest brother actually was a political cartoonist for his entire career up in Utah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, quite known in that area, and even got invited to the White House by the President of the United States and stuff and everything. And
back when that meant something.
Yeah, so my parents were very talented, and fortunately we got some of that in our family. And like I said, my one sister, she's the lead vocalist in a cover band right now, which she does it just for fun. She loves it. And so it's great to see. I go to encourage her and watch her perform and stuff, because it's more about her enjoyment and doing something she loves. And they are very good. Like, their guitarist is absolutely incredible and amazing, but
there's so many talented people out there, and it's just so hard to try and celebrate them all. But it's great when you can find real talent and just listen to them. Another one that I go back to that is a favorite moment of mine, and she did end up winning American Idol, but she was from Palm Springs.
Oh, wow.
But I will never forget, I was standing. So every Thursday in Palm Springs, they have what's called this Village Fest. They close the street down, and then vendors come out. And artists come out and perform, sit on the corner, pop out their piano, put out a thing.
Yeah.
And I was in a souvenir shop, and I heard her hit a Whitney Houston note, and I got chills. And I stepped out of the shop to look, because I heard plenty of people out there performing before, but no one made me feel the way she did with her singing. And I came out to see her, and it was just incredible. There she was, just this teeny tiny little girl singing this incredible Whitney Houston song, playing the piano just with her hat or whatever out there to collect fees. And I said, I know that this is a girl that's got talent. And then the next year she won American Idol.
Oh, wow. There you go. See, you know how to pick them. You know how to pick them for sure.
There's just a moment where you get this chill.
Yeah.
And when I hear that from great musicians or great artists, or when I see a piece or when I hear something that makes me cry or moved, I'm like, oh, that's talent. That's incredible.
Yeah. And that's another thing, too, is that music is supposed to move you. That's one of the main things, is that it touches you in your soul. And unfortunately, a lot of the music today is enjoyable. But to me, I think of it as when you're relating it almost to like food. Cotton candy is really good.
It's so sure. I thought Debbie Gibson was bubble gum. Now we just get like mainline sugar.
I was going to say, she seems like depth by comparison to some of the stuff. Whereas you're talking about AI could probably do at least as good of a job or better on some of these dance songs and this and that or whatever. Both artists, it's great. Everything's great. I think it's not them. I think it's more the industry.
It's the industry. You know? It's this pressure. Like I said, everything has to be a hit. It has to be a success. And if it's not, then you're abandoned. A good example of that, Sony did not believe in their own product when it came to that K-pop Demons. So they sold it to Netflix. And now it's like the biggest thing ever. So much so that I was at the club the other day and I like, I heard the song and I'm like, oh my God, it's infiltrated the gay clubs. It is a hit.
And you know, that's the thing. The money men quite often do miss the mark. Unfortunately, right. Star Wars came out when I was a young child. And when George Lucas was going through the contracting for it, they thought it wasn't going to be a hit. And so he said, all I want are the commercial rights to the toys that we're going to sell.
And retain ownership.
You can have it. Yeah, you can have it. It doesn't matter because it's not going to be a hit. And here, it's Star Wars. You should never really listen too much to the money people. But unfortunately, they're the ones that hold the purse strings for these people. And to be a big artist, unfortunately, sometimes, unless people start paying attention to you and really relating to you, that you're just going to be an artist that does things just through creativity.
Right.
Which, for me, that works because, like I said, I don't need it monetarily.
Right, you do it for the sake of doing it. As we talk about, it's tough putting it out as an independent. But what's been the most rewarding?
I think that for me, when I do have somebody who appreciates what I do is nice. Through my distributorship, I get to see where my songs are being played around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me reports and stuff. And it's interesting to see what countries are playing my stuff the most. And stuff like that. For a while, like my number two behind the United States was India.
Oh, wow.
Which India. I'm like, wow. Okay. Not quite sure what that's about, but it's, I at the end of the day, I am an artist and I like to have people appreciate what I do. We're all that way. But for me personally, it's more for me. So I like to just know that I have accomplished something that I wanted to do. Like, I just said, I'm going to do this.
Right.
And it was an uphill, like, ice skating uphill. But I did it. And I think that's what's important for most people to realize. Because there's been a lot of people who said to me, are you making money? Or are you going to make money? Are you going to do something with it? And I'm like, I am doing something with it.
Right.
People are so worried about money and not worried about the art. And I'm like, I'm doing this for the sake of art. I'm doing this for the sake of even just survival of my soul.
Right.
I need to do it.
Well, that's what GayPHX is for me. It's the same thing. People are like, do you make money off it? No, I'm doing this for the community. I'm doing this for me to be able to connect with our community, help others connect with our community. Money, not everything is about money. Does it cost money to make it? Yes, it does. And I'm investing in it. People said, how can they support? That's great. Yeah, I've got different ways. We're starting to sell advertising. But do I make money? No, that's not the focus. The focus is getting the word out, getting our community to feel more connected and to know that there's a space for them to share what they do so others can learn about it.
Yeah, exactly. And I really do, by the way, appreciate everything that you do. I know that you're very involved with the community and all of the different things that you do. You work very hard, and that's very appreciated. The thing is that I think if one thing that I could get out of this is to hopefully inspire other people to do things that they want to do. Like you were saying, you like to draw. You know what? That's great. And I had an art teacher in high school that said something that stuck with me, and I love it so much. And she could not draw at one point, and she taught herself how to draw. And she became amazing. And she said, all talent is, it's an accelerated ability to learn. It doesn't mean that other people can't learn it.
Right.
And I loved that because I thought if you want to draw or you want to sing or you want to do this, just go for it. And don't worry too much about what people think about it. And try to perfect your craft. Take voice lessons, take art lessons, take this or whatever and try to become better at what you're doing. One of the most famous artists in the world, right? And Van Gogh, right? He is pretty much the most famous artist of all time. And during his life, he sold one painting to his brother, and that was it. And a lot of the contemporary artists at his time thought he sucked and he was horrible.
Right.
And he could not paint.
Right.
Like the other impressionists said that he was horrible. Like he really just could not paint. And so if you listen to those naysayers in your life, the people who are going to put you down, because they're all over the place. Right? Tons of them out there.
Shoot, some of them live in my head.
Just saying, those people aren't doing anything. They're great at complaining about you, but they're not good at actually accomplishing these things themselves. The thing is that just don't listen to them. And do it because you love it and you crave it and that's what you want to do. And that's my message with my art and stuff. And I'm hoping to do some more visual art. I bought some canvases that are sitting here. I'm going to start trying to paint and stuff again. I used to do a lot of visual art and set design for the World Court System up in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
I built huge sets for them and everything. And I did a lot of painting, like a lot of portrait work and things like that for them years back. And I want to get more into that and maybe even put some stuff out into some art shows here. And then also, I would really love to get an agent again and potentially do some film work, like small pieces, small roles, film. Because I've done a few things in film in the past, and I really enjoyed that. I love theater too, like doing, as we talked about, but it's hard being a night shift nurse to host anything.
I bet.
Because they all rehearse and perform at night. But I'm saying if on my few days off, I could go somewhere and do a shoot for a small character role or something.
Well, see, what I'm hoping to do, and I think that they're going to be coming into public domain soon, because I found out I can't do it without getting sued. I have these old Superman radio scripts, and I would love to reenact those because I have access to sound effects and everything. And I'm like, but if I do it, I'd get sued until it falls into public domain in a few years. But that is something that I would love to do. And if that's anything that wets your whistle, let me know. Yeah. Because it's not quite acting, but it is. And it also doesn't have to happen in real time.
No, I would love that. In fact, I thought about doing voice acting. Actually, I need an agent for that because I love to do voices, obviously. And I, for my music and stuff. And I really would. I do it for the love of it. And so I almost wish that I could, if I was independently wealthy, people say, what would you do if you had $50 million? And one of my things is I would go to Hollywood and I would say, I'll just volunteer. I'll be in your movie and you don't even have to pay me.
I would love to be independently wealthy so I could be like in the background of a bunch of stuff and spend time just waiting.
Yeah.
Because I did try and be an extra in Spider-Man. Just drop that little note out there. Oh, wow. I was out there on the set. And it was literally all day, and we weren't even in the background.
Yeah, I've been an extra too, and it can be hard to even get yourself on the screen.
Right, but it was cool to see Tobey Maguire so close.
Yeah, it's fun to just be there on the set.
Yeah,
that's part of the thing for me, the energy. And if they wanted me to play like the little crazy uncle or something in some movie, and I'd be like, you can have me for free. Yeah, you can find some other guy, but. I'm just saying, I'd like to be dead body number three
over there in the scene, crime scene.
What I've heard from my acting friends, being a dead body is harder than it sounds.
You're breathing, dead body.
Don't breathe. Yeah, you're breathing. You're breathing. I can see your eyelashes twitching in the background.
Close your eyes. So,
yeah.
That's hilarious.
So I just had lots of interest. And I would very much be interested in anything, any projects that you have or whatever. Like I said, I just love to have fun with it.
Awesome.
And yeah. And I looked a little bit into getting an agent again, but I had a lot on my plate in my personal life. And so it's been a little hard. Like right now I've got more music
totally
that I'm going to be putting out. I've got five or six songs sitting here, original songs, but I just have to record the vocals and take them into the studio and get them mixed and mastered. And I'm just trying to find the time to do it. And then I'm actually going to be coming out with my first cover song.
Oh.
Of a song, Wicked Game by Chris Isaak. I'm going to be covering that.
I love
song.
That song.
Yeah, mine's very different. It's just piano and me, and that's it. And it's a lot more kind of stripped down and more emotional.
Oh, very cool.
And I struggled. I was like, should I do a cover or should I not? Because
Tom Goss
not being as creative.
But it still can be, especially, and it can be a little bit more relatable. Let me say that, because Tom Goss is another artist friend of mine that is a musician. And
I love Tom Goss.
Yeah, he did a stripped down version of Son of a Preacher Man. And let me tell you, that's hauntingly beautiful.
I have heard it.
Yeah,
it is beautiful. Yeah. He's very impressive.
And that cover, I've never heard a cover that made me think of a song differently like that did.
And that's the thing. It can be very creative. There's another one that I love by Matt Albert. Have you ever heard of Matt Albert?
The name sounds familiar.
So he's also a gay artist from the Northwest, I believe. Anyway, he even had to work with the contract for a while, I believe. But he did Handsome Man or something like that. That was a popular one that he did, but he did a version of I Want to Dance with Somebody, and he did it with one of the gay choirs.
I think here. Actually, I have heard that.
Yeah, and it slowed down and just him and the guitar.
Yeah.
And it is hauntingly beautiful.
Yeah.
It brings out a whole different dimension to that song. And he's another one of my gay artists that I look up to, that I was following before I even got into this. And he's vocally amazing and just very talented. But also Tom Goss is another one that I have listened to. So I do listen to these other artists and I think it's great what they're doing. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I hope that there are more people, younger artists out there that I feel like younger people right now are starting to also go more towards vintage stuff and trying to say, okay, let's go back to the basics and let's be more appreciative of real artistry.
Right. If you listen to the old Eagles, there's nothing commercial about the Eagles. There's, if you were to tell someone today and bring them the Eagles today, they would not say that this was a hit. They would tell you you're crazy, you're insane. But they are.
Yeah. And they're all just playing music, they're singing live. And yes, they did. A lot of people don't know this, but they actually could do pitch correction back in the day before autotune, but it was very hard. What they would have to do is speed up the tape or slow down the tape slightly to put them on pitch. But it was very expensive, and so they needed people who actually could sing.
Right.
And people who could play the instruments, because time is money, and doing it on tape is expensive. And you had those real, raw, talented people back then, like you're saying, like the Eagles and Led Zeppelin. And when he sang that song, he just had to sing it. Like Stairway to Heaven or whatever. It was like...
It's interesting.
Sing it. And if you run it through a computer now, like, it doesn't look perfect.
Right.
Like they're flat and they're sharp and they're this and that.
But that's what makes it sound so good, because it's not perfect.
Yeah.
It's raw. If it sounds raw. If you listen to the Eagles, it sounds raw, even though it is produced back then compared to what's produced now, it sounds raw.
It does.
Something interesting I was watching, because big comic book fan, and I've been watching these documentaries, and they were talking about Todd McFarlane, who lives here in the Valley, very famous comic book artist. And people asked him, what's more important, the art or the story? And it's not a matter of what he said was important. He said, what I can sell is good art. I can sell art. I could sell a comic book that was painted by Picasso and written by a four-year-old, but I can't sell something that's written by a four-year-old.
Or drawn by a four-year-old and written by Ernest Hemingway
or something. Because people buy that visual pop, that instant gratification, that, you know, and I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense to me when he said that. It's not a matter of what's more important to the comic. The story, probably, ultimately, but what can you sell? The art. I try and think of that as I approach things, too. How is this sellable?
And that's the thing. And a lot of people, there's a lot of pressure, as you were talking about pressure, there's a lot of pressure on people, even like me, for example, where it's like, people want to hear that perfect vocal. And so I have to sing it and make sure that it's really well done, or use some kind of a pitch correction. I'm just saying, you have to do that if you want it to be that perfect. But the industry has trained people to listen to something, and when they hear something slightly off, they think that it's not good.
All of a sudden, there's Simon Cowell. Yes. No, I understand.
Yeah, it's a little pitchy or whatever.
Right. Yes.
But they're not listening to the emotion of what they just heard in that. And I'm saying, yes, it should be relatively on pitch in key. But the thing is that if you put Adele's song through the thing, you can tell she's not using pitch correction. She goes slightly flat, slightly sharp. She's very close to on pitch, but it's not perfect.
Right.
And
the beauty is the imperfections.
Correct. It brings, and people gravitate to her, I think, because of that. They can hear it on some, subconsciously, they can hear it, and they're like, this is very gritty and real.
Right.
And that's how their music is anyway. And then, so I think that I love that younger people, because I've talked to people, and there's a lot of younger people who are going back to, they're going to record stores now. They like the vinyl. They like the older ways of doing things in art, and they are more appreciative.
Well, again, there's that connection. It's not just... and instant gratification drop down click, now I have it. It's a, you search through a catalog, you thumb through them, you look at the artwork, you look at, back in the day, it was a journey to go do the, to visit the record store, to visit the video store, to visit, but all these things now, all those experiences have been consolidated to drop down lists.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sterilized.
Right.
It's probably a good word to use.
That's a great word.
Very homogenous. You have to, if you listen to modern music right now that's coming out right now, most of it sounds almost identical.
Right.
Like it's the same music, the same, the exact instruments that are playing in the background, the same reverb, I mean, on the vocals,
right.
The same everything.
Look,
then you get somebody who comes along just a little different, right? Billie Eilish. You get somebody who comes along that's a little different in what they do, which
right.
I love her. She's great. But a very talented, but then everybody wants to be Billie Eilish. All of a sudden, everybody's singing in a whisper.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, everyone wants to copy it, wants a success. And like I said, I mentioned the K-pop Demon Hunters before, and it is lining Sugar, but the song is very, I understand why it's a hit, but it's all very formulaic. It all very feels like a formula, which is why I'm like, oh yeah, this is going to catch on, because it hits all the right things. And I'm like, oh, yep, okay. And there it is. Now it's out there.
No, it's true. If you go to an actual songwriting class, they will say that there are actual mathematical formulas to what will be a hit and what will not. Like, if you say, for example, if you use the word you within the first, I'm trying to remember how many seconds, 60 seconds of the song or something like that, your chances, your probability of having a hit song goes up just by using the word you in the first.
Interesting.
Yeah. Little things like that, it makes it more relatable, like you're saying,
right,
for people. And I don't want to give the impression that I don't appreciate the music that is out today. I think that dance music, I think it's great.
I'm still enjoying it. Don't get me wrong. I love Sugar.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I'm a big foodie and I love Sugar. And that's the thing, is it depends on my mood too. So there's sometimes you just want an ice cream cone.
Right.
And there's other times you want a steak or whatever, something more substantial. And I just wish that more people would put some variety, is what I'm saying. Like, it's not just sugar all the time, that they would go to something that it has a little bit more substance to it. Like the lyrics, like if you listen to a lot of the older music, like Stairway to Heaven, or like I was saying, some of these other, the Beatles and stuff like that, the lyrics are absolutely amazing.
Right.
Like the University of Utah, I believe they had a class on Bob Dylan.
Oh, wow.
A whole class on his lyrics. It has substance. You know, he's an artist as far as a lyricist goes. He's a poet who happens to sing, right? And like you're saying, the tonality, like that, oh, it's catchy, it's this, it's that kind of thing. It gets your attention. But if you think about it in your life, you think about songs that have really touched you or impacted you, it's usually the lyric that really hold you long term. Like they really connected with you on some level, that maybe you lost somebody important to you in your life and you heard that song at that time and it connected with you because you were like, oh my gosh, this person is singing my feeling. Like the song, hey, Summing My Pain with the Fingers kind of thing. Like in that,
Yeah, for me, it's like music is a song. The lyrics are like the words of a comic, and the music, the track, the audio, that part is the art of it. So you need the combination of the both for it to be a real hit. You may catch them on, and that's what the Sugar does. The Sugar is the music catch. And then the lyrics these days, sometimes they're just sound effects. They're not even words.
No, and if you listen to the actual lyrics, you go, oh my gosh, did they throw like word magnets at the fridge?
Right.
And go, like,
that doesn't make no sense.
Song? Yeah, or it's just so, you know, hey, baby, yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly. Same thing.
Literally, Justin Bieber, baby. And Justin Bieber, not to dog on him, because I think he's very talented too, but I'm just saying that's the industry.
Right.
Like, hey, baby,
right.
Hey, kind of thing. And
it takes 20 people to write that song.
It does. And a whole team in an expensive studio, and yeah. But there's even, you can be a pop artist. Madonna really showed us that you can be a pop artist and still have very deep lyrics. Like, she's got some really amazing lyrics. in her music. And she, you don't need to sacrifice the lyrics and the depth to be popular.
Right.
Right. And
what's next for you as far as new projects, new songs? I know you said that you're working on some art as well.
Yeah, I am working on some art, but I'm going to be doing, like I said, hopefully soon. I'm having some technical difficulties in my home studio.
Oh, no, I hate
my
that.
Personal life, but it's slowing me down. But I'm working on getting that Wicked Game cover. I'll be putting that out. I also am going to be putting out the title song for the album, which is, the title song is obviously called Ego. And it's really slamming people who are heavily invested in their ego. It's non-apologetic in the lyric about it. And then I've got a number of other songs coming on that first album. And then I hope to eventually start moving. I'm starting to feel like I want to do something that's a little bit more rock. I have three guitars here, and I bought myself a drum set. Maybe do something that's a little bit more geared towards that. I love rock music. And then I will be, I did perform at Grit a little while back, and they had asked me to do that, and I finally caved. I love to perform, but at the same time, performing is hard because I'm like, oh, I have to come up with an outfit. I have to do this. I have to do that because I can't just show up and do it. And I'm going to perform again at the Grit probably, I think, on the 25th of October.
Okay.
They were talking about that they wanted, yeah. So they were talking about that they wanted to do Halloween type show. So at that show, I probably won't be doing original music unless I do write something between now and then and stuff. But I most likely I'll just be doing cover stuff,
gotcha.
Just singing live. And then, like I said, just try to do what I can do to be creative and stuff like that.
How can listeners follow you, stream your music, and support what you're creating?
I'm on all of the platforms. The distributor puts me out through Apple Music and Spotify and stuff like that. And then all of the other, I don't know, worldwide, they have a bunch of, I don't know, 45 different ones. And then YouTube, I've got some stuff out there. I have a music video out there if you guys want to watch it. I came up with all the costumes for that and came up with the concept and everything like that. And one of my good friends is in that video with me. He's kind enough to be in there. Yeah, my friend Don, he's amazing. And he agreed to be in that video with me. He's a very interesting person in and of himself. He's amazing. But I hope to be making more music videos. But I have that on the channel on YouTube. And I go by my full name as my artist name. So Daniel James Blondahl is my...
And let's spell that for the people listening.
Yeah. So Daniel, obviously spelled normal, and then James. And then the last name is spelled G as in George, R-O-N as in Nancy, D-A-H-L.
So. And of course, that'll also be in the show notes too. But I just wanted to get it out there for people listening.
Yeah. I do like people to listen and stuff like that and to find enjoyment in the things that I, or not, have a good laugh. I don't know if it's not your thing.
Just consume it though, right? That and then tell us so that way, you know, that's how we get better.
Well, like I said, I loved that I got my first hater on Facebook. I thought that was fantastic. I even went around telling people afterwards, I was like, oh my God, I got my first hater. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Those are always the first hater, the first fan. My first fan came up to me in the bathroom at Bunkhouse. I was like, oh, of course it was in the bathroom at Bunkhouse.
Of course it is. Of course. That's the way it always goes. It's like the most. But I did have, I have to tell you really quick, I was in a show years and years ago, a play, musical. And I was at a bar and people were asking me about myself. And so I started saying, hey, act and this and that or whatever. And there were a couple people at the table who were being very critical. Like they were just like, oh yeah, kind of thing. And just then two women walked up to the table out of nowhere. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're Daniel Grundle, aren't you? And I go, yeah, I am. And they're like, oh, we loved you in that show that we just saw. Oh my gosh, you were so good. So I'm just like raving, right, about the show. And I was thinking, I could not have paid you to do that
right
better than that. Just like it was the
thank you, universe.
Yeah, exactly. So it does. Sometimes they approach you in the bathroom, and sometimes it's the perfect moment, is what I'm saying.
That's so awesome, Daniel. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. I know you got a lot going on, so thanks for taking the time.
Yeah. Thank you very much, and you have a great day. And I'll talk to you soon.
Another reason we love this community.
Buns are warm and the dogs are hot. The picnic dogs are best they've got. Grab your pals, don't be late. And roll, roll, dog, it's a tasty day. Roll, roll, dog. Hey, serving smiles all day. Roll, roll, dog. Whoa, tastes so good you'll wanna stay. From the grill to the groove, come join the crowd. And roll, roll, dog, we're proud and loud. Yeah, it's Wiener Wednesday, come on down. Half off wieners all over town. Big buns, big fun, bring your friends to play. You know it's roll, roll, dog all the way. Ayo.
You are about to embark on a hero's journey. You will do something you never thought you could do. Destiny awaits, and you cannot escape it.
Very funny, Valentina. You can just say take out the trash next time.
Honey, in this house, we're all your friends. What's your name?
I'm Simon.
I'm Mama Moo Moo. This is my place. Every drag performer is unique.
Thank you, thank you. I love you, boys.
The name's Dinah. Dinabolical.
Cry, you miserable queens!
Igor?
Showtime.
When you fall in love with you, your star begins to glow. But when you put that love to use, you
God, who are you?
The name's Maxi LaWow.
Maxi LaWow!
Maxi LaWow, Super Shiro, available on iTunes, Apple TV, and wherever you stream your superpower.
Girl, I'm a super queen.
Huzzah! Welcome to All Queer Shakespeare, the world's first all LGBTQIA+ Shakespearean theater company. Tickets are on sale for our latest show. Check us out at allqueershakespeare.com. It's a gay old time.
Pride lives here.
What an incredible conversation. A huge thank you to Daniel James Grundahl for joining us today and sharing his journey of creativity, compassion, and courage. The way he balances art and service, healing, and performance is such a powerful reminder of how multifaceted our community really is. And you can catch Daniel performing live this Sunday at Newtown Saloon for the Leather Pride Parade closing party and variety show hosted by Master Adam, Mr. Newtown Phoenix 2025. Trust me, you don't want to miss it. Food trucks, whiskey, cigars, games, prizes, and one unforgettable sage. The lineup is set to close out Phoenix Pride weekend. And to all of you listening, thank you. Every single week, you make this show possible just by showing up, tuning in, and sharing your energy with us. When you listen, when you tell your friend, when you show up at events or tag us online, you're helping keep community radio alive here in Phoenix. Now, we don't have a tower and we don't have a transmitter, but we do have you, our chosen family, and that's all we need. So if you're out and about Pride this weekend, keep your eyes peeled for our GayPHX QR code coins. These little rainbow tokens are our love letter to the community, and there's a special surprise waiting for you when you scan one. So grab one, take a picture, tag us, help spread the word about what we're building together. And there are so many ways to support what we're doing. Follow GayPHX on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, and Blue Sky. Share this podcast with your friends, coworkers, or that cute guy you met at Beer Bus. Leave a review wherever you listen. This helps people discover the show. And if you see us out this weekend, come say hi. We love meeting our listeners face to face. because this podcast isn't just a broadcast, it's a reflection of you, of us, this beautiful, messy, vibrant, queer desert family we call home. So let's keep showing up for each other, keep creating, and keep that pride spirit alive after the parade ends. We'll see you out there this weekend, under the flags, in the sun, and in the heart of Phoenix Pride. Until next time, I'm Billy. On the behalf of Brian and everyone here at GayPHX, thank you for tuning in to Community Radio On Demand. Stay proud, stay hydrated, and don't forget to grab your coin. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.